Once forged in the fires of PR and journalism, Curtis Dewar and Corey Westbrook united to create C-Squared. Now, on our podcast, we interview musicians and other industry professionals to give you an inside look on how to take your music to the next level.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to the C-Squared podcast with Corey and Curtis. Today, we are here with Mr. Tyler Harper of the band Capra. We're super jazzed to have him here. And, well, we're also fairly certain he isn't quite sure what he's gotten himself into with this rambling mess that is this podcast. But anyway, before we get started, I do just want to say thank you, Tyler, for joining us today, braving the podcast. We're super happy to have you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And for people who may not be familiar with who you are and what you do, and if you're listening and you're not familiar with who they are and what they do, go check out Capra. But for those folks who've been living under a rock, do you want to just give a brief, like, nutshell version of who you are and what you do?
Yeah, so I'm Tyler. I play guitar in Capra. We're a metallic hardcore band from Lafayette, Louisiana. And I've got four other bandmates that are not here right now.
That is the smallest nutshell version I think we have ever gotten. Like, that is just succinct.
Quick and to the point. There we are.
That was awesome, Tyler. So first of all, let's kind of move into the questions then. So the first one we got here is, so you guys were unsigned up until, I think it was last year. When did you guys get signed again?
Yeah, we got signed in, I want to say end of June of 2020. We had been talking to both Blacklight Media and Metal Blade in January of 2020, and yeah. We got, like, as soon as we got that email, like, we were all super stoked. And then I think a month later, February, like, COVID really hit, and we got another email saying, like, everything was shutting down. Blacklight was shutting down, Metal Blade was shutting down. So we thought we had lost the deal. We thought, like, oh, we almost got signed to a record label, and then the world kind of screwed that up. But they ended up, we kept in touch over quarantine and all that, and then they got back to us again in June, and they wanted to sign us, so we made the deal.
Cool. So now I think we did the promo for your EP, I think it was 2019, correct? That sound about right? Okay, cool. Cool. So now, not to toot my own horn or anything like that, because obviously, you know, I don't like to toot my own horn. But what do you think we did for promotion and marketing on that EP that helped you guys to, you know, get the attention of a major label?
I mean, you got us into some really good stuff. I want to say that was our first time in Metal Injection. Who else picked it up? I know we did a lot of stuff with, like, Ghost Cult Mag. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of good press. It was a lot of interviews, and I think it really let people know who we are, why we're here, and what we're trying to do with our music. And it got, you know, that EP, which later became part of the album, really pushed and gave people a sense of our sound, you know? So, like, we didn't have anything before that with Crow on vocals, which is why we wanted to put out two songs early, just to kind of get the ball rolling and say, like, hey, this is what we're doing now. And I think just the amount of press that you got us on our first PR campaign, it really pushed that to the people that needed to hear it and got us, you know, you've definitely helped us get to where we are.
Sure. I'll toot my own horn on that one. So last part about the promotion market, I just want to cover here. Is there anything else other than PR that you guys did that, you know, kind of helped when you were unsigned?
Staying on top of social media for sure. You know, like, we posting every single day, just keeping your fans engaged, asking questions. I've learned does wonders for the visibility of your posts on social media. Just because it's got everybody commenting, you know, their answers, like, where do you want to see us live, or, like, what's your favorite album this year, things like that. Like, people like to engage with stuff like that, so I know that was one thing we did a lot of. Staying on top of merch, especially in the time of quarantine, like, getting new t-shirts, getting I mean, we got like flags and we got hats, just any sort of thing you can put out there and sell and keep your fans saying, hey, like we want more. I think helps in the long run. So I think what we did was we made ourselves known. We made ourselves kind of help people to understand that we're not going anywhere, even through like the pandemic and the quarantine.
Fair enough. I think that's all I had on that one. So I guess the next one, Corey.
And then, so fast forwarding, you've gotten signed and you've started promoting something new. What ways were things different, and how did Metal Blade help push you forward, you know, in your careers? What was that experience like?
So it took a little while for us to like kind of even realize like what was going on, because we're such a DIY lifestyle band at first that it was hard for us to not do everything on our own or not know what we were really doing, what was going on behind the scenes, because we're used to doing it. And I mean, what Metal Blade did was they ran PR on our album. They really got us a lot of on different playlists on Spotify. It's really hard to say like what they did behind the scenes. We don't know, because we weren't there doing it ourselves. Like we did with Curtis. So all we know is that like our numbers went up, and we kept doing what we were doing already, which was printing merch, talking about tours. We found a booking agent, and that's pretty much all we did on our end. Stayed on top of social medias and.
Fair. So now let's talk about the tour that you guys recently did. So how was it different touring in COVID times versus non-COVID times?
It was different because we started off in the South, went to the East, went up Northeast, and then came back down to the South. So we really got to see like what's going on with the rest of the world, how they're treating COVID.
Yeah.
And so in the South, not many people care, mm-hmm. or think that we're still in a pandemic. So it's like a lot of mask, no mask people. And we did have a couple of shows. We asked specifically for more so all vaccinated shows. So we got a lot of those. It wasn't until we got to Texas, I think, that kind of stopped.
Mm-hmm.
But everywhere was pretty respectful. Everything was still weird, for sure.
Yeah.
Even in New Orleans, everybody was masked up. And then the further we got north, it was like, you know, mandatory vaccinations, mandatory masks in the venue. I know we played a show in Boston with High on Fire and Doom Riders, and it mm-hmm. was 650 capacity, and masks were mandatory, and everybody was wearing a mask, and it was kind of culture shock to see everybody like listening and following guidelines and doing what they're supposed to be doing. Because for us, I mean, we mask up when we go places, but most of the people down here in Louisiana don't. It's something you don't hear about every day. But yeah, just seeing the different environments and like and how people take it seriously was kind of crazy. Other than that, it felt like a normal tour. It felt like we're back. I don't know. People are ready to get out to shows. People are moving more than I've seen before. Before the pandemic, I mean, there was a lot of crazy shows, but there's also a lot of shows where, you know, people just stand there and they kind of, you know, you can tell they're listening, but they're not really there to feel the music. And then like, as opposed to now, people are feeling every bit of that live music and they're going absolutely insane. It's really cool to see.
I've Fair. Actually noticed that at a lot of the shows that I've been to recently is the crowds are so much more rowdy than I've ever seen. And there are a lot more like women in the pit than I have ever seen at shows too, which is because usually it's just me in there or like me and one other chick, but now it's like almost an even balance and it's actually really cool to see.
It is really cool to see. We noticed that on tour as well. There were so many more women at our shows, and it's awesome. And they're in the pit and they're mm-hmm. going crazy and they're fighting dudes. And it's like, well, this is exactly what I want to see.
I mean, I got my lip busted open at the last show that I went to, and there just like everybody was going hard. Guy, girl, didn't matter if it was like some tiny little tiny chick, a 7-year-old. I'm not even joking. There was a 7-year-old in the Napalm Death Pit, but the energy is, it's insane. I think it's because people are starved. What do you think?
Yeah, that's exactly what I think. I think we went so long sitting at home by ourselves, kind of, you know, listening to music. It's just not the same. It's not the same as a live performance. And like, we have so much pent up energy that was unused for a year. And now it's like, when you hear music, you feel it, and you just kind of let it go, and you go all out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What were like, are the restrictions basically off, like basically all the places that you toured then, other than masking?
We had a few shows, and by a few, I mean like 2 out of the 23 that like moshing wasn't allowed. It had like security in there, and it was like vax only, masks, no moshing. But for most of our shows, it was just vax only and masks to be worn. And the crowds would still go pretty crazy. They would still get rowdy, you know?
Oh, yeah, because up here, it's mask, vax, and seated. There's no...
Oh, yeah, we had no seated shows.
Wow.
That would be weird for us. I think seeing us in a seated environment would be absolutely mind-blowing for me, because I would be on stage losing my mind, breaking my body, and watching, you know, seeing someone sit down. It's like doing a live stream. It's like why I'm not a big fan of live streaming. It's because there's nobody in the room but a cameraman. And like, you know, I'm just going all out like a live performance, and there's nobody there to like feed off of.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know how I would handle a seated performance.
Fair. I got one last question on the touring thing before Corey asks the next one, which is kind of like, was there any type of, did anything kind of happen that might have derailed the tour due to regulations? Any that had happened?
Actually, our Kansas City show got shut down. The venue closed, but I'm not sure if that's COVID related.
Fair.
It very well could have been.
Fair.
The venue closed, I think, 2 weeks before our tour, and then we struggled for that 2 weeks to find another date at another venue, and it was just so last minute. We ended up getting like on a sort of local festival in Kansas City,
mm-hmm.
But they wanted us to play at like 5. We had a 9-hour drive. They wanted us to play at 5 and offered us no pay. So we,
what a deal.
We scrapped that. We did not do that. We drove. Yeah. It was either 9 hours to Kansas City and then 9 hours to Little Rock, or just 9 hours to Little Rock, and we decided to just drive to Arkansas and play that show.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. I think that's all I got on the touring.
Yeah.
All right. And then, so we're going to shift gears just a little bit. You said earlier one of the things that you did that helped you get signed was really focusing on your social media. So what kind of tips do you have for others that really worked well for you on your social media?
Posting every day is just rule number one for me. And you know, I say that, but I don't post every day. I just say it so that I try to remind myself to do that. When we were just getting started, I would post every day. Now it's like every other day, sometimes multiple days in a row, but I would say I post about 5 to 6 times a week. Hashtags are important on Instagram. Just to get that out there. I mean, I follow a ton of hashtags and I see other people's posts. I see new bands' posts and I find music that way sometimes. posting, you know, there's like different little tricks you can do where you can, like I was talking about earlier, you can ask questions and that gets your fans engaged. It like helps your visibility of your page to grow. Cause I know sometimes you'll make a post on Facebook and you'll get like 13 organic views without having to pay Facebook to put that out there. Another thing is just to take an old picture that did really well after a few weeks and just, you know, post it again.
Fair. What post do you think does, type of post do you think does the best for Capra?
What types of posts?
Yeah.
Definitely tour announcements. Everybody loves a tour announcement. But other than that, I don't know. We try to stay on top of new merch a lot. So we'll release new merch. We try to post like a really good live picture with you know, with some sort of hype behind it. Like if we have like an announcement coming up soon or if we have merch or anything along those lines. But I think our best like text type post is I do these things where like I'll shout out different underground bands that I'm listening to. Mm-hmm. And it gets a lot of engagement. A lot of people like to hear what we're listening to. We've done playlists in the past where we built Spotify playlists and shared those. Those posts do really well. People just want to hear new music, and it's crazy that it's 2021 and I feel like there are people out there that are struggling to find new music when it's almost everywhere if you know where to look for it. And there's also people that are just lazy and want you to tell them what to listen to. So when we make posts like that, you know, it gets like our friends involved. We get to post, we get to shout out our friends, you know, we get to say, hey, this is what we're listening to and you should be listening to.
Mm-hmm.
And then people get in the comments, you know, and they're like, hey, this band was really good. I think you would like this band. And then it's just, you know, you're creating dialogue with your fans, you're relating on a level. And it's just a really cool way. It's a really cool way to interact with each other.
Fair enough. And then we got a final question for you, Tyler, which is, what are the future plans for the band?
Oh, a lot. We have so much. And I don't even know if I can discuss most of it, but we're going to do 3 shows in January across the South. We have a local show that we're going to do in February. March, there's plans for a possible little mini tour with our friends in the Calistow Boys. That's kind of up in the air right now. I want to release some singles. I want to do another music video. June, we have a tour booked with 2 bands that I've been a fan of for quite some time. Mm-hmm. So that'll be June to July. It's gonna be like a month long thing. We're playing a festival in September. We got a lot to do, and I think it's gonna be a fun year. It's gonna be a lot different than this past year. You know, we only got to tour once this past year. I'm grateful mm-hmm. for it, but I'm ready to hit it hard. I'm tired of sitting around. I mean, y'all caught me like just sitting around playing guitar right before this interview, and like that's all I've been doing in my house pretty much since quarantine is just writing and writing and writing. So like we're about, I want to say 10 songs into the next album, which we won't release next year, but probably the year following. I want to spread it out. You know, we just released an album this year. I want to focus on maybe 2 singles and then release a full album next year.
Yeah.
So yeah, we got a lot going on. Cool. A lot to do.
Do you think you guys are going to be able to do any touring outside of the US in the next year or two, or do you think that's out of the question?
I think it's out of the question. I just read an article about the UK going back to all their different, you know, protocols of like mandatory masks and hopefully people are getting vaccinated out there. I don't know if they struggled with that like we did here in the US. But I mean, last year, or was it, or no, it was this year. This year, we lined up a UK European booking agent, as well as an Australian New Zealand booking agent. Nice. And it just doesn't seem like it's going to happen until 2023 at the minimum, because things are just getting, it's a roller coaster, man. It's up and down. It's like back and forth of just things are fine. Oh, things aren't fine. You know, were things ever fine? Nobody really knows.
Yeah. No, I get it. Cool. Corey, did you have any follow-up questions for Tyler?
I am good on my end.
Cool. Tyler, did you have anything final that you want to say to the listeners?
Just stay tuned for what we've got going on. We like I just said, we have a lot coming up, and you know, go out and support bands, support your local bands, support your scene, your music scene. Just go to their band camps, find their merch, buy their merch. Not even particularly our merch. I mean, you can if you like our band, just any band that you like, go support them. It's crazy right now.
Yeah.
Everybody needs the help.
Cool. Okay, Tyler, thanks for coming on. And with that, party on, Corey.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please help spread the word by leaving us a 5-star review on your platform of choice. You can also join the conversation by following us on any social media and suggesting guests or topics you'd like to learn more about. Thanks for listening to C Squared.